How you guys doing this morning? All right, good, good, good. Glad to see you here. I don't know if some of you guys got to think back a little bit farther than others, but I don't know what motivated you to go out and work when you were, let's say, 21, okay? All right. But for me, when I was, it was my last summer in high school, or somebody say that, not in high school, I wasn't that bad, all right. It was my last summer in college. I was 21 years old, and I went and I got a job, right? And I knew I was going into ministry, and I wanted to work at a church someday, and so I went and I got a job in downtown Chicago helping plant a new church there. And I'll be honest with you, Kate lived in the area, okay? And so she may have been part of the motivation for me to get that job in that specific place, and we were just dating at the time. But I remember throughout that summer, I was pretty busy with my job. We worked from 9 a.m. and we had stuff to do until 9 p.m., 6 days a week, all right? We had Sunday mornings off, okay, which is interesting, right? Because we had church on Sunday afternoons. It's a big old thing. But we worked 6 days a week working, and we were pretty busy with my job, but I would try to see Kate like twice or maybe three times a week, okay? Because that was our thing. Now, she was the only person that I really, really knew in that area. And so on those days, I would try to get my work done early, all right? So I'd go in, I would work as hard as I can, as fast as I could, and instead of getting off around 9, I would try to get done around 5 and have all my stuff done. But in order to do that, I had to work hard and I had to work fast. Not only did I work hard on fast during those days, as Kate was my motivation, I also wanted to do my job well because the last thing I wanted was for at 6 o'clock me to be gone and then them looking at this thing that I didn't do that well. I just kind of threw it together and going like, well, where's Zach? He needs to fix this or Zach needs to do that. I wanted to kind of fly under the radar. You get what I'm saying? Okay, and not ruffle any feathers because I knew that, you know, that they might not appreciate that, me leaving or whatever. And so that was my thing. And so that motivated me to work hard and fast and to do it well. Now, that's not exactly the right motivation, right, to do our jobs or to work hard. But as a 21-year-old kid, it's something, okay? And so you get what you got. But last week, we talked about work, and we started this series. And what we found out is that work is good. In fact, we talked about how God created us to work, and not just did he create us to work, but he also created us to work hard. It's kind of interesting because we as Christians, we think of work, and we have this idea that somehow we screwed up, and so God gave us like a bunch of chores to do for the rest of our life, right? That's kind of how we view work in our life. But if you remember, what we mentioned last week, or what we learned about, is that right after God creates man, he says the Lord took the man, and he placed him in the Garden of Eden to what? Work, right? To work it. See, right at the beginning of time, right at the beginning of us, God gave us a purpose. He gave man work to do. And this is before like the world got corrupt. This is before the world went down, all right? I mean, this is before, you know, everything started rotting and falling apart. And this is before sin. This was not some sort of punishment by any means. This is not by God going up to Adam and being like, man, you've really disappointed me today. And so, you know, I'm giving you a punishment, right? You need to go clean your room, young man, you know, like that type of thing. Or you need to go get to work, right? That's not the scenario that's going on here. No, this is God going up to Adam and saying, guess what? I have work for you. And Adam was excited to work. It was what he was created to do. See, it's built in us. It's a part of us. Deep down, all right, we are to work, we are to create, to build, to improve, to take care of, to push back against nature, and God designed us that way. And it's interesting because after God gave Adam and Eve work to do, all right, if you remember, God looks at his creation, he looks at everything that he's just done because God worked, all right, that's what he did for that week, and he put all of this time, effort, and energy into creating this, in creativity, and he looks around, and he looks at Adam and Eve, and looks at their purpose, he looks at their work that they're doing, and he says, man, this is good. All right, this is so, so good. In fact, the root word for the word work here in the Hebrew language is actually a same root word for another Hebrew word for worship. All right, meaning we are to worship with our work. Those two are connected. And if we're created to work, then we can, you know, logically, we understand that work is good for us, right? It's good for us. And so let's try that. Let's say it all together. We tried this last week. You guys were okay last week, all right? Let's try to do a little bit better. Maybe you had a week to think about it, all right? Maybe you tuned me out last week. I don't know. Let's try this again, all right? On the count of three, I want us to say this out loud, all right, with our own voices, all right? Try this. You guys with me? Okay, some of you guys don't want to play. Most of you guys don't want to play, but whatever. We're going to do this. All right, 3, 2, 1. Work is good. All right, it is good. Some of us were just like, you know, we shiver just even saying that. It's like work is, it's good, right? Work is good for us. It was a part of our worship, all right? Like at no point did Adam and Eve go, okay, I'm done with my work, so I'm going to walk over here and let's go over here and we're going to worship now. All right, they are connected together, and it is good, and it's to be a big part of our life. And it's not just this life, by the way. All right, if you hate work, I'm just saying, all right, you're gonna hate heaven, because when we die, if we have a relationship with Jesus, don't know if you realize this or not, but we will have work to do in heaven. Meaning, we're not just sitting around on clouds singing songs and, you know, looking at Jesus the whole time. All right, that's not what we're gonna be doing. All right, God has work for us to do. So I'm just saying, we might just want to get used to it now, because we're going to be doing it for like eternity, okay? Or at least we should hope we're doing it for eternity in heaven. So think about it. There's times where I'm meeting with people, and I meet with a lot of people, and we talk through things. A lot of people, we have, you know, we go through some tragedy or we go through some hard times in life, and for counseling and stuff. And a lot of times it's so interesting to me that maybe half the time, or maybe even more than half the time, maybe even most of the time, that when I'm talking to people and we're talking through issues and we're talking through things that just aren't going well in life, a lot of people are working age. They have the ability to work. They obviously need money, because a lot of the root issues that people have in their life, it comes down to financial problems, or financial problems just make our other problems just even harder and magnified and worse. And it's interesting, because there's a lot of people that I'm like, I have to sit down and I have to tell them, I'm like, hey, what you need to do, what will help fix your issues, is you need to go out this week and find a job, right? Sometimes I'm talking to people, I'm like, why? I'm thinking through this, and to me, some of this is just logic for us. I'm like, dude, why don't you have a job? And there's a lot of things that I've heard, a lot of reasons to why people don't have jobs that are, again, are of working age and have the ability to work and need the money and everything like that. Sometimes people are like, well, you know, I'm just looking for a career that I could be passionate about. I hear that a lot. I'm like looking for the perfect job. I'm like, I don't think there is a perfect job for you. Right? All of our jobs have issues, right? Or sometimes people are like, man, you know, I just want a job that has like some good vibes, you know, that I'm just feeling it that way, or something's just going to be bring meaning and purpose to my life, or whatever that might be. And I'm just like, man, why, you're looking for a career that you could be passionate about? How about you go out this week and get you a job? You get what I'm saying? All right, and go start working. And you can still look for other jobs, but working is good for us. It's a part of who we are. Sometimes I'm talking to, like, I don't know, 22-year-old kids and guys, and, you know, and they view themselves as a man. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool. All right, you should be a man, right? But I'm looking at their life, and I'm just like, but you're unemployed, and you're living in your mom's basement eating SpaghettiOs all day, okay? Like, I don't know, man. Like, that just doesn't sound like a man, all right, to me. And, you know, it's like, well, why don't you go ahead and get yourself a man job, pay your man bills, fold your own man underwear, and you could be a man too, okay? That's all it is, all right? You can handle this. See, work is a part of the Christian life, is a part of who we are. In fact, Christians should be the hardest working people in the workplace. We should be the hardest working people at our jobs. I'm not saying we always have the most time to give. I'm not saying we're always the most skilled. We're not always the most talented. I'm not saying we're not always the most intelligent, okay? Let's be honest with ourselves, all right? But what I am saying is we should be the hardest working, all right? Meaning if you work at the manufacturing plant, you should be the hardest working person at that plant. Or if you work in the office, you should be the hardest working person in your office. If you work at the job site, you should be the hardest working person at your job site. All right, if you're a teacher, we got a lot of teachers in here, you should be the hardest working teacher at your school. It should show up in your life. People should be able to watch you work and recognize that there is something different about how you work. Right, and by the way, work is so much more than just having a job. We all understand that. we understand that, a job is like a big portion of our work, but work is a lot broader of a category. I mean, if you're a student in here, your schoolwork is part of your work, right? Or if you're a stay-at-home mom, we totally understand, like, that is work. Taking care of your kids is work, right? Taking care of the house, doing laundry, you know, all the things, right? All that is work. If you're retired from your job, that's cool, okay? That'll be a great day someday, right? But you still have work that you should be doing. You should be filling up your time with work. Maybe not as hard of work, but we should be filling up our time with work. See, I'm not saying everybody needs a job. I'm saying everybody should work. Although if you are the working age and you have the ability to work and you're living off the government or your mom or whoever it might be, you should 100% have a job. All right, let's just throw that out there. Now, all right, when we think about work, all right, what I want us to ask ourselves today is what motivates us to work? All right, what motivates you to work hard and do a good job? What is the motivation behind that? Is that just getting paid? Is it the check at the end of the week? Right, see, for a lot of us, if we dig deeper, I think for a lot of us, it's more than just the check, right? Some of us, it's status, right? Some of us, it's respect. Some of us, we're just trying to, maybe you're trying to prove something to somebody else or someone at work or somebody in your life. For a lot of us, it's a lifestyle thing. Like, we have this level of lifestyle that we want to live, and we're like, okay, I want to get to this point. And so this is just, you know, I got to do this job so I can get the money so I can get there, right? We have this idea of, like, the American dream in our mind. We're like, I'm going to go get a bunch of college debt, then I'm going to get a job and get married and have 2.5 kids and a dog and a picket fence and a house, you know, whatever that might be. And so what do we end up doing when we have all these goals and dreams in our life? And I'm not saying those are bad, but what we end up doing is we work, all so that someday we can retire, and there's a lot of us in here that cannot wait for that day, and we spend a third of our life working our job so that someday we can stop and enjoy our stuff for just a few years. But in the meantime, what have we done? We've wasted half of our waking life doing something that we hate and doing something that we're just really not that into. See, as Christians, there's another layer for us to consider, meaning that no matter what we do, you realize your work matters to God. All right, no matter what you do, your work matters to God. Now, it's interesting because we usually don't associate God with work. In fact, in our life, what we end up doing is we have different buckets that we pour our life into, okay? And so let's say this. All right, we got our work bucket that we pour our time, energy, and effort into in our life. But we also got our, let's just call this our everything else bucket, all right, that we pour our time, energy, and life into. Last week, if you remember, we had the stacks of bricks where we were showing just the amount of time during our week that we pour into work and everything else. But let's throw out sleep. And so we spend half of our time, if we have a full-time job, we spend about half of our waking hours doing our job, and we spend the other half of our waking hours doing everything else. And so for us, we keep these buckets separate, usually, okay? We have our professional life. That is very different for a lot of us than our personal life, and a lot of us, we don't like to mix. Right, they're two separate buckets for us that we're pouring our life out into, and we don't like to mix them. We like to keep them separate. Now, what's interesting is for those of us who have given our life over to Jesus and we surrender our life to Him, all of a sudden when we do that, we actually get a different bucket. Okay, kind of Jesus bucket kind of wedges Himself in there. You're like, oh, okay, all right, there's Jesus. All right, so now what do we have? All right, we have our professional life. All right, we have our personal life, and then we have our brand new spiritual life that we're pouring our time, our effort, our energy into throughout our life. Now, I just want to point this out. Usually, we put a lot more time, effort, and energy into our professional life and our personal life than we do our spiritual life. Right? Not necessarily a great thing, since this is the thing that matters for eternity, if that makes sense. Right? And so what we do is we keep these things so separate. We don't want to, you know, mix our spiritual life with our professional life. I mean, that's just kind of weird. All right, we don't want to mix our professional life with our personal life because we want this. We usually want to get away from our professional life when we're living our personal life. And then we don't want our spiritual life with our personal life either. We just kind of view them differently. But it's interesting. It's almost like we think and we believe that God has a different opinion God doesn't have an opinion on our professional life or personal life and only our spiritual life. But that's not the case. See, one thing that God is trying to get us to understand, one thing that we need to learn is we need to view this through the lens of the way God views our life through the lens, which is, right, there's really only one bucket, right? It's all connected. Our personal life, right, our professional life, and our spiritual life, they're all connected to each other, and they relate to each other. It's interesting because today we're going to be looking at a letter that Paul writes. Paul writes to a church in a small city called Colossae, and he gives a lot of instructions of how to live our life, right? He gives instructions of how to live our spiritual life. He gives instructions of how to live our personal life. He talks about how husbands and wives and children should relate to each other, but then he gives us instructions with our work relationships and our professional life. Now, before we dive into this, if you read the chapter before, which you'll kind of understand, I just kind of want to explain something real quick. The Roman culture, obviously, was much, much different than our culture. The Roman Empire had slavery, and this was one of the major, professional life or like work relationships that was going on between employers. Some of it was flat out slavery. In fact, a lot of it, if not most of it, was. Now, slavery back then is a lot different than the way we view slavery here in our country and our culture. See, our culture, when we think of slavery, we automatically think racism. All right, that's something that we're taught ever since we're little kids. We are taught that because of our nation's past, which makes sense. But throughout the world and throughout the history of the world, and especially in Rome, all right, slavery was not a race issue. In fact, in Rome, all right, all races owned slaves and all races were slaves. And so there's lots of white slaves, black slaves, Asian slaves, all races of slaves. And it was everywhere. In fact, one of the Colossian guys who were actually delivering this letter was a runaway slave called Onesimus. Now, this is what Paul's not doing. He's not condoning slavery in any way, right? This was just the reality of his day. In fact, many Christians were slaves. This church that he's writing to, right, probably many scholars believe that half the members there were slaves in that church. And so what Paul is doing is he is pointing to a particular work relationship that was everywhere in that day. But today, we could still apply these principles to our work life. And so that's what we're going to be doing. Now, so this is what Paul is saying. Whether you're a slave or you're free doesn't really matter in this case when it comes to our work, right? He says, when you are working at your job, he says, don't work only while being watched, as the people pleasers do. All right, you know people like that? No? Okay, there's a few nods out there, all right? Could it be you? I'm just saying. All right, where you're like standing around, you're talking at work, and then somebody comes in, and you're like, oh yeah, we were doing this, we were talking about work, okay, all right? Or you're on your phone, standing there on your phone, and the boss walks in, and all of a sudden you look busy, okay? There's, once in a while, we do this in other areas of our life. Once in a while, I'll go on a run, and so I'll go out, I'll be like, man, I just need to get out there and run. I used to run all the time. I was in track and stuff in high school, but now it's just sad. Like, I'm just slow, and I kind of waddle, and it's just like, dude, what happened to me? I'm just going downhill. But once in a while, I'll go out, and I'll go on a run, and I'm, like, dying. I'll be honest with you. I'm like, dude, I'm like, so out of shape. This is embarrassing. I hope nobody from church drives by. Sometimes you guys honk, and I'm like, wear a hat down real low sometimes so you guys won't see me. And I'll be out there. But once in a while, I'll, like, catch up to somebody on the sidewalk. They're walking their dog or something like that. And I have to pass them. And when I pass them, what do? Right? I don't struggle past them. No. What do? We chest up. We lengthen our stride. Right? We pick up the pace. And I zoom past them. I'm like, peace, you know. And then I get out of range of them being able to, like, completely watch what I'm doing. And then I slow down. I'm like, you know, then I'm like dying. You know, some of you guys, you do this in the gym. You're like struggling, and then the coach or somebody walks by, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, here we go. You know what I mean? That's what Paul is saying. He's like, think of it that way. He's saying a lot of us do that at our job, in a sense. Right? We're slacking, and then a certain someone enters the room, all of a sudden we look really busy. Paul's like, man, that ain't right. He says, don't be that guy. He's saying we don't work for people, like a people pleaser. All right, we don't work for people's approval necessarily. We're not primarily working for the boss's approval. That's not why a Christian is to work. That's not supposed to be our main motivation. You might be sitting here like, yeah, man, who cares what my boss thinks? My boss is a jerk anyway. I can't stand that guy. He's such a pain. All right, and Paul's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. What Paul's saying is there is a much bigger motivation behind why we do what we do. Instead, he says, do this. He says, work wholeheartedly. How does that mean? What's wholeheartedly mean? It means with all your heart. It means with everything you got. It means you put it all on the line. Think about that for just a second. All right, I'm just asking. All right, I don't know you. I don't know your job. I don't know what you do. But I'm just saying, when was the last time, like think about this for yourself. When was the last time you worked with all of your heart at your job? Right? Like, even if you're retired, think about it this way. When was the last time you worked with all of your heart in the yard? Right? Or if you're a student, when was the last time you worked with all of your heart on your homework or studying for that exam? Or if you're an athlete, all right, when was the last time you worked with all of your heart at practice? I'm just saying. This is what Paul's saying. He's like, no, you're viewing this wrong. Right? Don't always try to take the easy road. Don't always try to do the easiest thing. He's saying, no. You need to work wholeheartedly. He's saying Christians work with all of their heart. Why? Because their motivation, he says, is fearing the Lord. Right? He's saying God is to be our motivation. You might be sitting here like, huh? What do you mean, fearing the Lord? We're supposed to be scared of him? What's that mean? Paul's about to clear this idea up a little bit in the next sentence. Right? He says, think about it this way. He says, in whatever you do, right? In whatever you do. Right? You might be sitting here, you're like, man, I really don't understand how a pastor can give me advice at my job. He's never worked my job in a day in his life. Like you don't understand, Zach. Like, you get to work with Christians all day. Like, Pastor Mike, that'd be so fun. You get to sit around, sing songs, and pray. All right, I'm glad that you think that's what we do. But you know, you might be sitting here like, man, you just don't understand. Or for some of us, what you've already done is this is what we do. Whenever we're challenged with something in our life, which, by the way, the Bible challenges us in all areas of our life. So, like, get used to it if you're coming here to Grace, right? But what we a lot of times do when we are being convicted with something in our life, what we think is we pre-decide that this doesn't apply to my situation. What we do is we pre-decide, whoa, my situation's different. My job is different. What I got going on, you don't know my boss. You don't know the people I work with. They're such a pain. You don't know how the customers or how clients treat me. You don't know how it is. See, the problem with what Paul just did for you is he's saying you don't get an exemption here. This right here is an excuse killer. He says, whatever you do. Not if you do the easy work, or if you love your job, or if your job's going really good, or if you have a great boss that you love, or if you have great coworkers and awesome employees that you manage, or the clients or the customers always treat you right. He doesn't say that. No, he says, whatever you do, right? That includes everything that we do. It doesn't really matter what you do, whether it's high-end job or a low-end job, whether you get paid a lot or paid a little, whether you love it or you hate it. He's saying God doesn't care as much about the job that you have, but more about the job that you do with the job that you have. Did you get that? Right? God doesn't care as much about the job that you have or what you do for a living, but more about the job that you do with the job that you have. See, it's not about where we work or what we do. That's not what matters to God. What matters to him is why we work and how we do it. He's saying, in whatever you do, do it from the heart. Everything, all of our work, he's saying, put your heart into it. If you're a teacher, put your heart into it. He's like, if you're an accountant, man, you need to put your heart into it. Or if you do sales, you need to put your heart into it. Or if you're at the plant, you need, and you're working on the line, he's saying, put your heart into it. Or if you're at the bank, he's saying, put your heart into it. Or if you're on the job site, he's saying, put your heart into it. Or if you supervise or if you manage people, man, that is such a crucial role within your business or your company or whatever. He's saying, man, you need to supervise and manage with your heart. He's saying, put your heart into it. Have some passion for what you're doing. He's saying, care a little. We don't go in mindlessly every day doing something that we hate. We don't go into work every day half-hearted. It doesn't matter in whatever we do. It doesn't matter if it's our dream job or not. He's saying, man, our heart means we are invested into it. This word for heart, it actually is even deeper than just kind of what we naturally think in our culture. This is like, he's saying, this is like on a soul level. All right, this is something that you have some passion about. See, he's saying, that's how we are to work. And then he says, and this is why we work, right? We work, think of it this way. Here's our motivation for work. All right, we work as if what we're doing is being done for the Lord and not for people. He's saying, here's the deal. Your primary like motivation for working or for doing your job, he's saying it's not for status. It's not to move up the ranks. It's not for respect. It's not to prove something to somebody else. He's saying, It's not to achieve this lifestyle or to achieve the American dream, whatever that is in our mind. He's saying it's not that stuff's not supposed to be our motivation. No, our motivation is we are working for him. Right? Like, we don't work for ourselves, we don't work for our boss, right? It's so much more than that. We need to view it as we walk into work every single day. All right, this is tough. Like, I totally understand this. Right? It's tough even for me, and I'm a pastor, right? He's saying, as soon as you walk into work, like, it's just different. Or as soon as you start the work in your shop or out in the yard or whatever it might be, he's saying, as you work, you need to view it as if you're working for God. Everything that you do. You need to view him as your boss. You need to view him as your supervisor. And you're like, man, I wish God was my boss. Like, it wouldn't hurt my boss a little bit to be a little more godlike. You get what I'm saying? All right? You ever have a boss that, I don't know, you didn't care for? Okay? Or a manager, a supervisor, you're just like, man, he's just not great at this. Different times in my life, all right, not right now, all right, but different times in my life I had the same scenario where I'm just like, dude, I feel like I'm just a kid, but like, I don't think he knows what he's doing, right? Or I don't think he cares, or this person's terrible at resolving conflict, or sometimes this person is the cause of the conflict, and so that's an issue at work, right? Or maybe for you, you think like your boss is too demanding. Right, you're like, man, I love to work for God. Like, that'd be great. Like, he's loving and he's forgiving and all this stuff. Like, that'd be just so great. All right, but no, what you got to remember is that he's also the most demanding boss in the world, because you know what? God demands perfection. See, Paul finishes his thought here. He says, don't view it as if you work for your boss. He says, you primarily work for God. Knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord, he says, you serve the Lord. Don't forget that. He says, you serve the Lord, meaning we work from the heart because we ultimately work for God, and we know the reward that God will give us. Now, you know what that reward is? All right, that reward, by the way, is the fact that every single one of us, we're all messed up, jacked up, horrible, terrible people, and that we deserve hell for eternity because we are all sinners, and it's a big deal. But instead, for some reason, I can't even understand it, God loves us so much, so he came down 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life, came down, lived in the dirt, pulled off his glory, and came down here, and then we ended up killing him. And on that cross, is somehow what he did, it counted for us, meaning he paid for everything that we've ever done wrong. He took care of it. He paid for it so that we would have the opportunity to have a relationship with our Creator that we're actually born and designed and created to have. Right? Not only that, do we not only get to have a relationship with our Creator, not only do we not have to go to hell if we surrender our life to him, but it's even more than that. He's like, plus, I'm going to give you like the icing on the cake. I'm going to say, you can live with me forever for eternity. About to be great in heaven. All right? We get to spend eternity together on top of all that. And so here's Paul. He's trying to remind us of this fact. This is something where we get so caught up in our everyday work life, in our professional life, and even our personal life, that sometimes this is not on the forefront of our mind. We're so focused on these little tiny problems in our life, just this little bit amount of time where God's like, dude, this is nothing. He says, life is just like a mist. It's here and then it's gone. He says, you need to think on the eternal level. You need to think with eternity in mind. And here's Paul. He's trying to get us to remember this. And he's like, what better motivation is there? It's not we work hard so we don't have to go to hell. That's not it. That's religion. No, Christians, we work hard because God saved us from hell. It changes our perspective. It changes our mindset of work. See, he's trying to remind us. He's saying, man, there's really only one bucket. Right? It's not your professional life and your personal life and your spiritual life. He's saying, no, it's all connected together. All right? We always need to think on the spiritual level. See, when we quit working for ourselves and we start working for God, it changes everything. Right? What happens? Well, we start going into work in the morning with passion. We start caring about what we do, even if we don't like what we do. All right, we work hard to be the best that we can be, not working just for the paycheck, but working because work is so good for us and it fulfills us. It gives us purpose and meaning in our life. All right, we work on the, as Paul would say, on the soul level, putting it all on the line, giving it everything we got. And we, as Christians, work hard. And when you get frustrated with the things going on in your job, we still choose to be the hardest worker and the best worker that we can be, and we trust God with the results. See, the Bible's filled with examples of people who didn't have the ideal job, yet they chose to work hard. I remember Joseph. You remember we went through Joseph a few years ago, through the story of Joseph, and remember what happened to him? He's like, I don't know, 16 years old, and then he's kidnapped as a kid. He's turned into a slave, and he does such a good job at his slave work that he kind of works his way up the slave ladder. Right, and then his boss starts making moves on this kid, Joseph, and Joseph does the right thing. He says, no way, and then he gets thrown into prison, and he's innocent. Remember how that went? I'm just saying, you think you've been mistreated at your work? Just saying, look at Joseph. He was a victim of human trafficking, domestic violence, and jail. All right, he's stuck in jail and prison, it looks like, forever. And what's he do? All right, those are not ideal working situations, okay? What's he do? Well, he becomes the best inmate in the whole jail. He becomes the best one. He becomes the hardest worker. He works so hard that all the jail people that are there, like taking care of all the people in jail, like they start noticing and they're like, dude, this dude's got potential. Rotten in prison. And the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. See, I don't think the Lord was with Joseph, so Joseph worked really hard. I think Joseph worked hard and then the Lord chose to be with him. See, if I were Joseph, by the way, I'd be like, man, Lord, you want to be with somebody else for a while? Like, this is not going well. But what happened in that time? God was working on him. God used this time to mold him and to shape him into what he wanted him to be. And then what's God do? God used him for something bigger than he could have ever dreamed. All right? Remember David? All right, David at like, I don't know, like 14 years old, he is anointed king of Israel. Meaning, here's this old prophet Samuel guy comes up and he says, hey, God told me to let you know you are going to be the next king and I'm going to anoint you as king over our entire nation. And so I bet 14-year-old David is like pumped. He's like, oh man, it's about to be sweet. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. I got some things I'm going to change. You know, he's going to put, you know, yeah, I don't know. Okay, he's going to do, all, you know, ice cream machines in all the cafeterias or whatever, you know, that type of thing that you do is, I don't know, 14, this like eighth grade. But he's got all these plans. And then what happens to him? His dad sends him out to the fields. He's stuck with sheep all day. His dad's like, okay, king, I want you to get to work. And for years, this isn't just like a few weeks or just a summer thing. No, for years, David is stuck out with the sheep. I don't think that's where David wanted to be. That, by the way, in that culture was the lowest job you could possibly have. He's already been told he's going to be the king. You know what he does during that time? He gets really good at the sling. Ironically, you know, what else is there to do for a kid? And God uses it. God's working on him. God uses that time in his life to make him better, and God's working, and he saves a nation through him when the time comes. See, when it comes to our jobs, sometimes we're not in the place that we want to be. It's not a forever home. It's not our dream job, right? But we got to remember is that God can still use that for good in our life, and he could maybe he's just trying to teach us something. Maybe that's why he has us there. See, when it comes to our jobs, we choose to be the best workers that we can be, and we choose to trust God with the results. Now, here's a question for you. All right, this question I want to leave you with today. When it comes to our work, and those of us who have jobs in here, all right, when it comes to our jobs, like if you are in your manager's position or your supervisor's position or the board's position or the boss's position, think about this, all right? Knowing you know you better than you know yourself. Knowing what you know about you, right? And let's say you could hire anybody in the world, right, to do what you do, whatever that is. Knowing what you know about you, my question is, would you hire you? Right? Knowing how you spend your time at work, knowing how much shopping you get done at work. You know, some of us, you're really good at clicking off, you know, that screen when somebody walks in. Okay? Knowing how much you whine and complain at work, about work. Knowing your attitude that you have as soon as you walk in through your office or as soon as you walk into the door. Knowing how productive you actually are, not just how productive you make yourself look like. Knowing what you know about you, would you hire you? See, as a Christian, we work. And we work hard. Because it's what we were designed to do. We were designed to create, to build, to improve, to take care of, right? Not for our boss necessarily, not necessarily for our supervisor or the company or the promotion or for money so that we can have the lifestyle that we want. No, our motivation for our hard work comes from we realize as soon as we step foot into our workplace or our jobs, or even if we're working at home, we're, you know, doing the laundry, some non-glamorous job, what we need to realize is that we work hard because we are working for God. And we're working for him. And he cares about how we work, and he's always watching. He's always there. He sees everything that we do. But we work hard because it's good for us. And because he cares, and he's our motivation. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these words. And work is just one of those topics that, Lord, it's just difficult. It's not fun for us to listen to, because I think every single one of us, this applies to us, including myself. I mean, we are not always the hardest working people all the time. There's just no way. But God, you have called us to be that. You've called us to be so good at working and being such a hard worker that people around us should know. People around us should see the difference. It's something that should stand out in our community and the people around us. And God, we ask that it would. Simply being a Jesus follower, Lord, should give us the motivation to working hard. Lord, we ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.